it straight together like my homie D.O.C. No one can do it better like this, that, and this, and it's like that, and like this, and like that, and it's like this, and we ain't got no love for those. So just chill.
Beats, knowledge, and flavors, the Hip Hop Chronicles, that mix show designed to keep hip hop alive. I'm Mike Nice, and I'm real excited about this next segment because I have the author of a book called The Hip Hop Lectures, and it's Dr. T.L. Osborne. Let me just welcome you to the show first and foremost. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Okay, so I think I saw an email from you a while ago, and I had my producer research it, and she looked at it, and she was like, Mike, you got to check this out. This book is for real. It's telling the truth. It's taking us back to Africa, showing the roots of hip-hop, and it even breaks down the characters. It breaks down everything. You got to check it out. So I got a moment to, you know, read a couple of pages in between doing tasks around here, and I said, you know what? You're right. She has to come on the show, and I got to learn more about her. So as I learn more about her, the audience will learn more about you as well. So tell me, before we talk about the actual books, tell me something about you. Who is Dr. T.L. Osborne?
I am born and raised in Baltimore, Maryland. I've been in the city part of Baltimore, Maryland, my entire life. So growing up, hip-hop was very much a part of my everyday culture, the environment, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, I'm a product of a single-parent home, and I just really loved the music growing up. My sister actually exposed me to hip-hop growing up originally, and from that point on, I've just always been curious, and, you know, while I've gone to school, I've always tried to find a way when I was in school to tie hip-hop into my assignment, and my teachers at the time, you know, just growing up, were not really feeling it, but I was like, hey, music is music. It doesn't, you know, necessarily matter the content all of the time and whether you identify with it or not at the moment. So, you know, that's just my basic story. I actually went to pre-K all the way to my doctorate degree. So that's something
nice.
That I'm proud of. But
yeah.
It took a lot of discipline to do. So, you know, I'm excited to be able to, one, graduate and have my doctorate, but most importantly, be able to share the knowledge. And, you know, I was always taught once you get your doctorate, you can start writing and, you know, teaching more about things you're passionate about. So that really was my goal for getting my doctorate is, you know, once you get that, you can, you know, start providing insight and validation for the things that interest you. So
nice. And I applaud you for that because a lot of times people get discouraged while they're on that path and they, you know, fall victim to, you know, whatever the teacher in the classroom tells them that they have to do. But you kind of, you know, beat the odds, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had teachers, you know, tell me my writing was horrible. I mean, that's a whole other segment, Mike, we could talk about, but it definitely wasn't, you know, easy. And like I said, you know, I'm very familiar with and have a love for hip hop because it's all about, to me, coming from nothing into something. And that's the essence of, you know, my experience and my story. So, you know, it was very easy for me to identify, you know, with that and the discouragement sometimes that happens in school, as well as the boredom with some subjects. So,
Congratulations. All right. So, let's talk about the book. What inspired you to actually, I know you mentioned that you wanted to spread the information out there, but what actually, I mean, this book, it digs deep into hip hop.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the name Hip Hop Lectures. How did you come up with that part?
It took a while to try to find a title, but basically I've been teaching a course called The History of Hip Hop at the Community College of Baltimore County since 2006. And I've had students that were 17 all the way up to about 80. So each time I taught the class, more information evolved, classes filled up more, and people referred other people. And I was trying to find various names. And eventually I was just like, you know what? I teach a class called Hip Hop, and it's basically a lecture course. So I put it together, just like the Hip Hop Lectures. And the reason for me putting the book out in 2015, I could have put it out before then, but I was actually working on my dissertation up until 2012. And last year I had an artist and a student in my class called Vito. And a lot of students have always told me, Dr. T, you know, you need to get a book. This is so much rich information. And he just was taking a summer class with me. And he said, Dr. T, if you don't put a book out, I'm a failure. So I was like, let me sit down take some time to actually, you know, put this into information. And I have no problem with people using that information, but he's saying, you know, I really want you to get the credit, and I need you to, you know, sit down, Dr. T, because a lot of people don't know this information or only know pieces of it. And, it, you know, it will probably be great for the culture and just people that are familiar with hip hop and those that are not. So that, you know, that's
big shout to Vito for that inspiration. Word up. He inspired you and got you out there. All right. So, let's tell people a little bit. Actually, you know what? We've gotten to know you. We know about the book. I got to play a little music, and then we're going to come back and talk about the book. Okay? How about that?
That's perfect.
All right. It's the Hip Hop Chronicles. I'm Mike Knight. She's Dr. T, author of the Hip Hop Lectures. More in a second. Stay there.
Yeah. 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 They gave us Obama like, yeah, it was gonna stop the fight, yeah, like it was gonna stop the cause. Folks still scraping, trying to find them some socks and drawers, yeah, and something to eat.
Beats, knowledge, and flavors, the Hip Hop Chronicles, that mix show designed to keep hip hop alive and keep you informed. Right now, I'm on the phone with Dr. T.L. Osborne, and she is definitely keeping you informed, and she has taken the time to author a book called The Hip Hop Lectures. Now, they're volumes one and they're volumes two. Right now, we're going to talk about volume one. We talked about what inspired you to go ahead and put the book out. Tell people what the book actually talks about. There are many levels to this book as I go through the index.
Okay, and in short, it basically just tries to break down and unite hip-hop culture with history. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, people know hip-hop to sort of stand alone and be sort of that separate branch or culture of music. And so part of what I wanted to do, and, you know, what I typically ask students in the class is, you know, if you're familiar or not familiar with hip-hop, it's sort of okay, because whether you know it or not, you know something about hip hop. And so I just thought to take it all the way back to simple levels with African drumming and dancing, and just, you know, to unite those aspects, how, you know, it's just an ongoing party and how music keeps you motivated. And I also try to remind people how essential music is, you know, in everyday tasks. If you're cleaning up, you know, music is important. Once the music stops, you get tired. You're like, oh, I don't feel like cleaning up anymore. So, you know, I talk about the roots of that, the importance of it, how African culture celebrated big and little things. And, you know, in teaching those concepts, and hopefully people understand how important it is to celebrate every aspect of somebody's growth. So it starts there. It goes through slavery, which is a very important part of hip-hop culture, and how, you know, the drums were sort of forbidden and taken. So individuals had to come up with creative ways to communicate, and that's through spirituals, which is sort of coded messages, not just sort of everyday songs of inspiration and hope. And I just evolved it to the menstrual shows, which is the blackface, where, you know, individuals had to make a choice for their craft and their art. And it was very stereotypical and controversial. So I talk about that and the role of entertainment, especially in light of reality television and things that happen and shows like Love and Hip Hop. And I go from there to the Harlem Renaissance. And one of the things I get excited about with the Harlem Renaissance is not just the music, but the role of the gangsters. A lot of times people forget how gangsters sort of invested in the Harlem Renaissance. That's one of the things, Stephanie St. Clair. So I talk about, you know, the roles of those individuals and how, you know, eventually it starts to intersect into music as well as crime and politics. And so I talk about that. And I move forward with the rock and roll era, which, you know, is sort of this sex, drugs, rock and roll type of vibe and feel. And I talk about the importance of race relations during that time, and, you know, how individuals basically had to make a choice of whether to let their music be stolen or sampled. And I talk about the controversies with that. And, you know, I just try to move through.
Yeah, looking at that chapter, it says rock and roll ain't just white people's music.
Exactly. And so that's one of, you know, the things that's important is that a lot of people oftentimes, you know, consider rock and roll white people's music, but they very rarely know the people of color that participated in that movement and made it what it is, especially when it comes to royalties and getting, you know, the rights to your music. So, you know, that's an important chapter as well, especially in terms of business and just marketing and branding yourself. So I put that chapter
in there. Wow, all of that is covered in the book?
Yes, all of this is covered
Amazing.
In the book.
Amazing.
So I definitely, you know, my goal is to write a book where even though it's used for college courses, everyday person can read it and learn something and appreciate the culture for it. So, you know, and I think, you know, when you go through little bits, I just try to give nuggets and clues. And if you want to read more and follow up, then that is great and beautiful. But if you only have these two volumes of the book, I think this is a pretty, you know, not to sound arrogant, but I think it's a pretty, you'll be pretty well-rounded where you can have a intellectual conversation about hip-hop other than what you may hear on everyday radio or something like that.
Nice. So, it has to be that way because you talked about the African heritage, you're talking about the rock and roll, you're talking about keeping the rights to your music, and it's also a segment in here where you talk about, what is it titled, The Rise of Post-Civil Rights Movement, The Emergence of Black Arts Movement, and the Black Panther Party. What do you discuss in that chapter, like, briefly? I don't want you to give it all away.
Oh, no, nah, absolutely. So, you know, that's another powerful chapter. I kind of combine the impact of Amiri Baraka and the Black Arts Movement alongside the Black Panthers and, you know, sort of the J. Edgar Hoover, FBI COINTELPRO program. And basically what I try to do with both of those is to show how the Black Arts Movement transitioned poetry and mixed it with politics. And so it went from being sort of poems that are, most people would say, poems about love and touchy-feely emotions to more like, hey, this is what's going on. And, you know, Amiri Baraka's poem Black Art was powerful because it mentioned fighting cops back. And one of the things that, you know, often people will tell you is to obey cops. And so that poem created so much controversy. And in light of what's happening now, literally in 2016, you know, and when he wrote that poem, I think it's, you know, it's powerful, but also tragic that things have changed, but not much since his era. So, you know, I think it's important to acknowledge how music and art and poetry can still, you know, not just inspire, but actually evoke people to stand and, you know, stand up for their rights as best that they, you know, can. And so I mentioned that. And then the Black Panther Party, I want to shed light on the controversy surrounding that group and, you know, the assumptions that come with that particular party in terms of all the negativity that's associated. So, you know, I want people, and that's what I try to do and did in the book, was to make a balance. You can still have your opinion. I'm not forcing a specific opinion on you. I'm just giving you facts. And once you read those facts, it's up to you to either, you know, apply it, get a different perspective or insight, or to continue, you know, with the perspective that you have. But I didn't want to write a book to tell you what to think. I wanted to write something just to add a little bit more nuggets to what you may or may not already know.
And get people thinking. And I love it. I mean, you cover all of that, and you even find a way to put in the MC Shan and Juice Crew and KRS-One beef. I love the fact that you put this out, man. And I want to encourage everybody out there to pick up a copy of the book. And if they want to do so, how can they, or where can they get the book at?
Absolutely. The books right now are available on all social platforms in terms of Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I'm actually in some local libraries, the city and county in Baltimore. They carry my book, so if you don't want to buy it, you want to skim it and check it out first, that's perfectly okay. I'm in the process now of starting a website where you can get them sort of direct, because I also am working on accompanying the book with sort of like 15-minute TED Talks with each chapter. So it's some things coming in to work with that. But right now, Barnes & Noble, carry it, Amazon, any sort of online platform where you would order your books from, you can find it.
Nice, nice. And I applaud you for the work you're doing. If people want to get in touch with you with questions or so forth, is there any type of social media that they can gain access to you by?
Absolutely. The email is actually in the front of the book, but I'll give it to you right now. It's the hiphoplectures gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And you can reach me there by email. You can also reach me on social media. Facebook is The Hip Hop Lectures. On Instagram, it's the_hip_hop_lectures. Mm-hmm. And Twitter at Hip Hop Lecturer. You can find me there. So anytime, you can also Google my name. It might have that, Dr. C.L. Osborne, or actually The Hip Hop Lectures. And you'll be able to find the first page to get that information as well, in case you, I said it too quickly for you.
Nice, nice. And again, keep up the good work. And I look forward to getting you back on the show just to join in on some conversations, if that's okay with you.
That is definitely okay, Mike. I'm so grateful for you taking the time out and the support. And shout out to the young lady who read the email and forwarded
yes,
it to you.
Yes, yes. Super producer Jasmine. Thank you.
I appreciate that as well. But thank you so much for your time. And, Mike, I would like to, I guess, once we take a break, get your address and stuff and send you an autographed copy. I definitely appreciate it.
Oh, that's dope. Dope. I appreciate you. And please keep up the good work, and we will be in touch. Man, that's Dr. T, a.k.a. Dr. T.L. Osborne. The book is The Hip Hop Lectures, and you got to go pick it up. And we're going to highlight that on our website, probably our social media pages. So we will
Thank
get you
so
that
much.
Information. All right, y'all stay right there. It's The Hip Hop Chronicles. This Day in Hip Hop is on the way. So you don't want to miss that.
You know what it is, your boy Holiday Styles and my dog, Mike Nice.